the Hostile Zone, hosted by the infamous and dangerous and much lied about Eric A. Sinani. This is where public corruption, abuse of power, a waste and misuse of public dollars, and ultimately using your personal position for gaining power influence over others is met with extreme hostility. Otherwise, everyone else is welcome. Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone. You're with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face, Eric Andrew Sinani, Eric A. Sinani with a real big A. Who?
Eric Sinani, of course.
Right here on the Hostile Zone. Yet another week, another day, another month, and another year. Here we are, another episode. I am the one and only Eric Sinani, Eric A. Sinani. I'm accompanied by the on-air vocalist, as always, Miss Bianca C. S-E-A, like the ocean swimming away.
Bianca C, that's me. Hello, everyone.
How are you?
I'm doing fabulous.
A fabuloso day?
Yes, fabuloso. And I've been celebrating the day of Earth Day.
Earth Day. What are we celebrating on Earth? Every day on Earth is a celebration. Every day that the good Lord lets you spend another day on Earth is a good day, I guess. It's Earth Day, right?
Yes, it is. So I was enjoying the beautiful day, and it's lovely, you know?
That's good. That's good. I enjoyed nothing today. So did not enjoy Earth, did not enjoy any sunlight. I was indoors.
Well, indoors. You were probably in the backyard, at least.
No, indoors all day, and I enjoyed every moment of it. And matter of fact, I'm counting the moments till the show's over so I can go back and enjoy doing nothing again. All right, so anyway, folks, welcome to the show. We're here. So much to talk about, so little time, as usual. But, you know, the fact is that I'm not going to go on and continuously, you know, go on about the Israel-Hamas, Israel-Palestine, Hamas-Gaza, whatever, you know, and now Iran. Let's not go there. Let's not discuss that today. Let's just discuss.
Even the protesters in the colleges?
I was going to talk about that, but I was not going to talk about the death and destruction inside of Gaza and all the stuff that's going on. I didn't want to talk about militarization today. Gotcha. I didn't want to depress everybody on this lovely Earth Day, because they're destroying lovely Mother Earth every time they drop a bomb, right?
That's very true. Very true.
If you're part of the UFO or UAP world, that you believe that that the aliens are very upset every time there's nuclear explosions.
I'm sure they would be.
Yeah, actually, they said I sounded wrong with that. I read that you know, when there were our nukes, when we were practicing nukes, and when nukes are practiced or whatever launched. That it actually dispels some particles into space, which, you know, I don't know. That may be possible, maybe not possible, but I watched a documentary on that, and the individual was saying, and they were saying that, you know, that this stuff goes into space. And then, you know, they say, you know, interestingly enough, that a lot of the sightings of UAPs now, unidentified aerial phenomenon, whatever. UAP, or UFO, because, you know, the government, all they do is they take the same meat, switch the bread, and make it a new sandwich. They just switch
like
the bread and it's a new sandwich.
Change
the title and it's a whole new thing.
But is it like definitely like level of classification?
Well, you know, it's like this: when the government screws up, when the government screws up, folks. Clean house and reorganize, right? They just changed the name, folks. So think about this. UFOs are now UAPs. If certain agencies change their name from one agency to another name, but they operate the same.
So it's tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato.
Okay.
Well, folks, if you or I made a mistake ever in our life, you can't just, I'm going to just change my name. And that's it. It's gone. It doesn't exist. UFOs don't exist anymore.
That's like P. Diddy. How many times you got to change his name?
Or P. Diddy, or the artist formerly known as Prince. I guess you just change your name. You know, whatever. I mean, just Google Eric Sinati and see what you get.
Hey.
Tell me if I should change my name.
I'm an artist. I have my artist name.
Right. So anyway, actually, I want to talk about the protests a little bit.
Yes. What's going on?
I want to talk about the protests because, you know, and as someone who has taught at the university level for several years, at several state, county, and private university and college institutions, in multiple states, is right.
Hot professor.
A lot of people, yeah, right.
Hot professor.
Hot professor. Okay. I did have a lot of chili peppers at one point. I'll rate my professor. I don't even know if that site even is a thing anymore. But anyway, so yeah, you know, what are we indoctrinating our students to? You know, I don't know. I get war is not a good thing. No one, and I'm not saying that, but
yeah,
they're protesting, and you know, the protests are going far above what I believe is probably appropriate. In the sense of what the schools are allowing to take place on their campuses. You know, and when now that it's a school, it's a private property like Columbia University, NYPD and none of the New York authorities really, they don't have much jurisdiction to go unless if they're invited in or if they see an actual, you know, some kind of crime occur, then they can go. But, you know, the students can do what they want, and the campuses are allowing this.
As a parent, I would be so upset of all my life saving
you'd
for...
You'd be upset.
I'd be so pissed off. Yes. Yeah. Of all my life saving for my child.
I say what I have to say on that, but
yeah,
you know, there you go.
I would really be upset for all my life of saving for my child's education in order to have him pay for his education for college and dorm and stuff, and then they pull off this.
Right. And you know what?
I would be super
It's been going
upset.
On for a while. I mean, we knew the indoctrination. I mean, having worked there, I can tell you firsthand that conservatives definitely are not treated the kindest on the university campus, whether you be a professor, a academic professor, or you are a student. It's just not what seems to be socially acceptable on in the ivory halls of academia.
Yeah, I don't get it. How like being a conservative now, it's a bad thing.
I don't know. It's like and then you get called names. You get they lie about you. You know, but you know, I don't know. Anyway, the fact of the matter is, folks, there is a lot of stuff going on campus, and again, I didn't want to spend my Monday on that. I want to talk about some more pressing issues.
Sure.
That I think are on the rise.
Okay.
I want to talk about what the crux and the foundation of this show is, and what the new show that I'm launching in the next cycle, maybe 10 days, a week or so.
Okay.
It is the abuse of the government, the abuse of power. Police corruption, abuse of police authority, police abuse upon civilians. I have a whole slew of cases that we've been researching. I have all the case documentation. I've interviewed several family members on either side of the issue. I have several cases. I have specifically chosen cases across the United States, but specifically, I did grab a bunch of cases in the state of North Carolina because I have a personal, I have a personal issue. I have a personal interest in the abuses that North Carolina produces by their own volition, word of the day, by their own volition and their own lack there of training. Lack there of compassion, lack there of knowledge, lack there of did I say education? No, I said
no,
training. Lack there of training, lack there of education, lack there of common sense, lack there of whatever. Generally, in the cases I have a whole bunch. I'm not gonna bring any up today. I'm gonna save them for the new show. But there are several. But I did see one, and it's going to be highlighted in a mini series that we'll be putting out soon. And it dealt with a veteran in, I don't want to say the town, I was about to. I'm going to save it for the new show. Follow me through for the new show. Not the new. This show isn't going away, but there's another show that I'm hosting as well. And I'm going to literally dissect these cases. And I'm going to dissect them very well. In your face style. This way, everybody knows.
In your face!
It's like that. It's just like that. But this particular one was of a veteran who was allegedly, and I say allegedly because there's no video of him doing this. And honestly, I don't really care if he did anyway, but they said that he was panhandling. I don't know about you, but people always see people holding signs, "Will work for food, veteran, please help," whatever. Yeah, now, this individual had his service dog, right? Mm-hmm. His service dog, and he was... The video is horrendous, and I have. Thank you to one of the auditors out there. Thank you for the footage. We did get the request for freedom of information, which they call FOIA, the freedom of information, or otherwise known as an OPRA, Open Public Records Act request. So I probably have. Oh my God, 100 hours worth of video to go through mm-hmm. on several of these ones we're working on. But this specific one in North Carolina, the veteran was in a medium, but a pretty decent sized medium. And in between, when the light changes, you know.
Okay.
And he had his service dog. He wasn't bothering anybody. I spoke with some people in the area, businesses that knew of him and had provided him food. And okay. Different things. He had some serious PTSD. He may have some other issues. I have his information, but it's very difficult to communicate with him due to not having actual numbers to get in touch with him.
Now, what type of race was he?
He was white. Different. He was white, but the officer was black.
Oh. Okay.
Both officers were black. The original officer and the secondary officer, who apparently needed to respond on this because he was such a threat. He was such a threat standing there doing absolutely nothing. He was following his First Amendment right of free speech and following his right to assemble in the public. And he did with his service dog after serving multiple tours defending our nation. And then this courageous hide behind my badge cop claims to be a veteran too. But anyway, so he ends up getting into verbal altercation with this man, and he asks the guy for an identification. The man hands him his VA card.
Okay, and
it's a government, his
that's
Veterans
official.
Affairs yeah. medical card has a picture on it, has an expiration date, has a barcode on the back, and folks, if you don't know, on the front of it, it has Braille. So it can be read by a blind person. Oh. If I had mine on me, I don't.
Anyway,
so it has Braille on it, and it has a barcode, and it's accepted to get onto military installations. It's accepted, obviously, in the government. But this officer, this particular I'm better than God officer in North Carolina, felt that that was not a good enough identification.
Are you serious?
The man is homeless, and he has a government-issued card that indicates he served his nation. Thank you for your service, sir. He has his service dog with him, and this officer is not accepting of that ID. Before you know it, the officer has now physically got his hands on this gentleman.
Yet the government accepts it.
It's accepted.
Okay.
It's so accepted. Yeah, I'd love to go through. I have cases right here. We have been working tirelessly. You know who you are, some of you. I've spoken to half of these people. Thank you to some of the other First Amendment auditors out there who have slewed my inbox with video, sent it to me in the mail, email, and other manners, dropping off, thumb drives with video on it that they got on Freedom of Information. I have it all, you know, so it is what it is. So this gentleman, this officer, and I'm going to say gentleman, because he was obviously, I believe he was retrained, but I believe he was terminated or resigned, one or the other.
Don't they have training about what type of
then you know what they have in North Carolina? Like, they have what they call BLET. They have a college course, which is like a couple hours a day for like, you know, 4 months or something like that for a semester. So basically, you, me, and everybody else went and got a bachelor's degree, unless if you're me, you have more than that. But if you got a bachelor's degree, you have four times the amount of education that somebody who graduated this BLET course did. There's no homework. They sit in the classroom. They take kindergarten level exams, whatever. And that's not, this is not every agency. So I'm not bad mouthing every agency, but this program is not organized like a police academy where it is in most places.
So you know, are you telling me there's like really like no brotherhood? Is that
there's what you're no saying? There's no they don't have a brotherhood. They lock up their own people. They do it. Listen, wait for the new show. We're gonna go heavy, unhinged. Eric A. Sinati, unhinged politics and opinions, current events coming to you live right here on BBS in a very short time. Plus, we also have a mini series where I've teamed up with another team and production. And that will be on a streaming network coming to you soon. You will enjoy that one. Awesome. If you enjoyed any of Candace Owens' work that you worked on Making of a Murderer, you'll enjoy this as when the time comes for that. So anyway, so
what happened?
So this veteran was slammed to the ground. And the officer alleges, although the video doesn't show this, but the officer alleges that he was bit by the dog. Well, it's a service dog, and he's assaulting the veteran who has not placed his hands on him. When he asked for an identification, which he had no right or reason or legality to provide an ID, he was not operating a motor vehicle. He was not suspected of committing a crime. He had no reason to be identified. But, you know how it is. You watch these shows, and thank you to the First Amendment auditors for all of the influx of information you've been providing us. I thank you, truly. And we will be giving the honorable mentions to all of them moving forward. But anyway, he demanded an ID. The veteran actually offered the ID. He did not need to. Nowhere in the Constitution says he needs to do that.
Right.
But he did. But this ID was not good enough for this officer. He wanted another ID. I don't know. Did you want one from you, sir? Did you want one from you? Did you want one signed by you because you're King Almighty? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you wanted your chief to sign it. I don't know. Or whoever's butt you sniffed to get the job. I don't know. Anyway, so moving forward.
So he just know just the identification just only for North Carolina?
Right, yeah. Apparently, but you know, when you enter. Well, I'm sorry, what did you say?
Does he not know any other type of ID other than North Carolina?
Well, apparently, when you enter the great state of North Carolina, exactly. When you enter the great state of North Carolina, it says the most military friendly. That's what it says. I don't know. I want to be the first guy to go there and take a spray paint can and put a big circle with a line through it. Because trust me, North Carolina is not.
But he will not, folks.
Not. Big zero. Not the most friendly.
Don't bot him of thinking next time you see a sign like that it's going to be.
Right.
He didn't
right.
do it. Yeah, I didn't. So you know.
Yeah, let me put that out
you're
there.
You're not the type of person to do destruction on government property.
Not me. Not this guy. I didn't do it. I had nothing to do with it. But anyway, yeah, it does say the most military-friendly state. So anyway, all right.
I don't think that's true.
But no, it's very not true. I actually spoke with a colleague of mine who works up in Virginia, Northern Virginia, mm-hmm. an agency in Northern Virginia, a couple miles outside of D.C. And we were laughing because he used to work. He had some cases down here in down in North Carolina. He was he said he was actually at Fort Bragg working, which is now Fort Liberty, Don't get me started on why we got to change the names of all our bases across the country.
You know,
it's Fort Bragg always. It's always going to be Fort Bragg.
You know it's going
to be. It's going to be Fort Bragg. I'm sorry.
You say
it's
the
Fort
new
Bragg.
Name, somebody's going to say what?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Fort Liberty? Okay. Mm. Anyway.
Don't
so Fort
change
Bragg.
It. It is what it is.
All right. Fort Bragg. So anyway, so he was, so this particular friend of mine who is, who works in Virginia, and he was talking about, laughing about the same thing about the most, you know, the most military friendly. No, it's not. It is not the most military. It's probably one of the most anti-military areas that there is going. Yeah. But anyway, so it is not me putting an X through the most military state, okay? Really? I'll do much better than that. I'm going to take you to court. I'm not going to spray paint on your sign. I'm going to spray paint you across the newspaper, across all the TV screens about who you really are. I don't need a can of paint to do that. From Ollie's or wherever. You know. So then this officer claims he is, because I don't believe he's to protect and serve. He was not protecting or serving anybody. He allegedly, the dog bit him, but he tased the dog. Nobody saw the dog bite him. Oh. Witnesses from the local businesses, with whom I've spoken to two.
That's so sad.
I've spoken to two of the business owners on either side of the corner who witnessed the entire incident unveil from the beginning. Mm. They watched it roll out. So they saw the whole thing. I spoke with them. I saw the videos. I saw store videos from both stores who happened to have facing out their door and happened to be facing where this incident occurred. I guess this police department didn't think maybe before they opened their big mouth and lied, as they do quite often, that they didn't check with local people if they had video too. Because they said the dog allegedly bit. Well, let's just drop the word allegedly, because that would just be saying, giving him the benefit of the doubt. There's no benefit of the doubt. Video shows dog never bit you, so don't lie.
Wow.
Dog did, and he said, really? Dog bit me on his boot. Because if he said the dog bit him, he'd have to show a mark. But the dog bit him on his boot. So then the dog is seen running away, and he tased the dog. And then the veteran is crying on the ground, screaming for help, asking, why are you doing this to me? Why is my face mushed into the ground? And these officers are accosting him while he's on the ground. And ultimately, he's charged. And interestingly enough, dismissed the charges, because I guess they realized that they made another grave mistake. But this happens over and over again. And if we, the people, don't bring this to the public, and we don't make this a front-fold conversation, then we are failing as good citizens of our country. We are failing the Constitution. In this book right here, the United States Constitution, it starts off with we the people in order to form a more perfect union. And if you're watching, I'm holding it up. I'm not reading it. That's in my head, because I know that we the people in order to form a more perfect union have this document, the Constitution.
I really feel bad about the guy. Like,
there
having
are
the dog
so
taser,
many
that's
cases.
That's probably like his only person that he ever, the only thing that he cares about. Probably.
There are so many cases. So I could go down.
It's like a family member, you know, like harming your family member. That's so harsh.
I mean, we go down the list here. In 2013,
I bet you he probably feeds the dog more than he feeds himself.
His statement was that, you know, people stop and give food and stuff, and you know. But there have been several, and I got a list here. Jonathan Farrell, Johnny Rush, Andrew Brown Jr. I can go down the list. These are just North Carolina ones that I've compiled. Mm. We can go down. Let's just go there. I'm not going to go on each specific one, but I took some pretty good notes here on this here. This has been an issue in the South. We know that the South, I guess the South just does not catch up with everybody else. I don't understand.
I don't know.
But Obviously, there was some civil rights issues here, and we know that there was some issues in North Carolina. We know that there was issues. We've discussed Mississippi how many times? Mississippi?
Yeah, Mississippi.
M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I, right? Anyway, Mississippi. Yeah. So anyway, so there's been several, you know, there's been issues. But the bottom line is, we're going back here. Brutality goes back years and years and years and years and years. I'm not going to go start from the beginning, but bottom line, the factors that really play into police brutality and police overreach is, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, the guy that takes this job and abuses his position was the guy that was picked on in school, was the loser, was the one that got beat up. The one that had no friends, the one that couldn't get a girl. So, you know, why not kick it in your uniform, right? Why not pull over somebody and have a little fun conversation? Try to get a phone number, you know, because you're not going to get a phone number at a club or at a bar with other people there, because you're probably a loser. Other than putting on that jacket and tie and badge, you're probably a loser.
Honestly, if a cop like ever pulled me over and asked for my phone number, whatever, I kind of would feel pressured.
Then they did.
Like, but I wouldn't want to.
There was a case in
no.
New Jersey where a trooper sent flowers, a state trooper sent flowers to roses to a woman that he had pulled over, and that actually changed the whole system on how you can run license plates. Mm. Running license plates used to be, you know, they sat and they had what they called the MDT, which was in the car. The MDT was the machine, and they have a program called InfoCop, and in there you can run licenses, registration, and stuff like that. But now, you know, it changed, and things may have changed since then, again, as technology keeps changing.
Good.
So don't bot me and troll me, because I'm not in the every department to talk about the
it's
specifics
in every
of what.
Department,
yeah,
right?
But
yeah.
There is, you know, these programs are pretty much the same. Mm. But then it was keeping record of who ran who.
Good idea.
And when they were running licenses and stuff, it was printing out in headquarters that you ran that address. So this was a long time ago, that one I'm talking about. But that was just an instance. But some of the factors are included in police brutality are people taking these positions and having very little formal real training. You know, having very little education to begin with. A lot of places do not require anything more than a GED, a high school general equivalency, or a high school diploma. Not saying anything's wrong with these things. I'm not making fun of anybody.
I was giving them a chance.
But I'm saying, no, but see, there are people that took the effort and went and got a bachelor's degree in criminal justice, criminology, crime scene investigation, sociology. How about that? A little bit of knowledge on society and how people intertwine with each other. Psychology, how the individual works.
They need to know psychology.
Criminology, how maybe a criminal mind may work. How about just taking a social issues course? But no, they'll just take a couple months course at a college, run by a college, you know, and whatever. So this end of it, they tasered the dog.
That's so sad.
It's just one instance, folks. Mm. One instance. But the other thing we have to look at is the militarization of law enforcement in America. There's a program that where the military, when they have surplus items, whether it be armored vehicles and different things, they will they will auction them or even give them to law enforcement agencies across the nation, which is a good thing, depending on what it is you're offering.
Okay.
You know, we do not need local law enforcement to be rolling down your street with armored vehicles.
Yeah, I like those big army military Hummers.
And then, and they paint them, you know.
They'll put the town name on
it. Yeah, come on. Let's get real with each other, okay? Let's get real. You don't need that. Now, yes, they're absolutely 100%. Firstly, we support law enforcement on this show. Okay?
Absolutely. We're
nobody blue. Here is anti-government or anti-law enforcement. We are anti-scum person that does things that they shouldn't do.
We don't like corruption.
We are anti people that abuse their position because it makes them feel good or they're getting some other personal gain. We don't like that. We don't support that. So let's get that right out in the open. The show has been out for less than a year, this show here, The Hostile Zone. We're doing very well. Thank you, folks, for your numbers and for watching and tuning into the show.
And we have plenty of friends that are cops.
Yes, yeah, we have plenty of friends. Yep. You know where the word, I did talk about where the word cop comes from. Do you remember?
I don't know. Say it again.
It comes from constable on patrol. Huh? See, there you go. Folks that take the college course that is a wannabe police academy. Ask any of them if they know what cop stands for. They'll brag to all their friends, I'm a cop, but they don't even know where it comes from.
I wonder, what's that?
Where does the word sheriff come from? Ask them if they know
that. Well, sheriff?
Well, if they went and got a college degree instead
of... Now they're going to know because they're watching the show.
instead of a couple weeks in a class somewhere, and now they have all this authority to drive around and just and terrorize people. The sheriff comes from Shire Reeve. And you say it went fast, sheriff. It was the origins of policing in the United States. A lot of it came from England. So that's constable on patrol. People used to use the word flatfoot. People call cops a pig.
They had a certain type of shoe. Yeah.
Yeah. So they used to call cops a pig. Well, the old word used to be flatfoot. Uh-huh. Why would they call them flatfoot? Because they walked all day up and down. But that's when they did real policing. Mm-hmm. I think that was probably the best time in America for policing was when the worst thing, and I've talked about this on the show before, the worst thing that ever happened in American criminal justice and American law enforcement is the creation of air conditioning and vehicles. Because then you take a lazy officer who used to walk up and down the main street in his town, checking all the doors at night of the businesses to let them know, oh, business door's unlocked. Maybe somebody is in there that doesn't belong, or maybe the business owner themselves forgot to lock the door.
Oh, yeah.
What they're there for. They're there to be proactive policing, not reactive policing. Okay? You would have learned that if you took a college course, too, and not just a basic law enforcement training class at a college, run by a college, a police organization. Mm-hmm. So you want to be proactive law enforcement, not reactive. So proactive was the old school flatfoot style, where he walked and they had a call box on the corner. He would walk from one corner to the next, and when he got to the next corner, he could pick up the call box and it would ring police headquarters. And if you go to some places, New York City and Philadelphia, they still have some of the remnants, just like the old firebox that you could pull the thing for emergency.
Oh yeah.
So they had a call box, and they would walk, and they became acquainted with the neighbors. So they would know the people in the areas they work, like the mailman. A mailman in some areas in the north, primarily, or in the less rural areas, they walk. They know what's going on in the neighborhood. They are your best proactive police that you have. Are the post people, you know, the mail carrier. I don't want to say mailman because I don't want to, the mail carrier, the mailwoman, mailman, they know their route. They know what cars should be where at what time. They know who's home and who's not. Yeah. They know because they walk it every day. So they know. And a lot of times, a lot of credit is not given to the postal carriers, but they report a lot of stuff that they see.
I can imagine.
And they do save a lot of people. Because they see things that shouldn't be going on when a moving truck is moving all your furniture out of your house. But they know, geez, Bianca C isn't moving. I talk to her every day.
Oh,
I bring she hasn't put a change of address in. Her mail is still coming. I'm delivering it. Why is there a U-Haul in her driveway and seven guys carrying all the furniture out when I know that she's recording a show right now with Eric?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So but when they created air conditioning and then at least the cars, they didn't have air conditioning. So the windows were open. You could yell, help, right? Or you could, or they had their arm at least out the window and they waved. They had some resemblance.
Or like the whistles,
right. They had some resemblance of communication. Mm-hmm. A two-way communication instead of a car with the windows rolled up and presumably music playing, a podcast, a movie. We've seen plenty. I actually have footage from body cams. Who some of these officers forgot to turn off body cams, and they're watching movies in their car while they're driving. You, my friend, are on the phone And I have it one I'm going to bring forward eventually. This guy in North Carolina, by the way, another one, he pulled somebody over and issued a summons to them for talking on the phone while they were driving, right? They argued and said, we weren't. They said, I was just moving, it was actually navigation, and they took it off and moved it out of the way. They were not actually using the phone. And they were actually able later on to prove from the phone carrier. They got a copy. This person went and got, and thank God they reached out to me. So they got a copy from Verizon of all the incoming and outgoing. So they were able to prove that there was no text messages. Nothing was being done on the phone other than having maps open, which you're allowed to have.
Oh.
So this officer pulled this person over, accused them wrongfully, and who, by the way, was not polite, was very rude, who was very condescending. You know, your typical that you see on YouTube towards John Q. Public. Mm-hmm. The person said, but sir, they're trying to rationalize the situation. They're trying to be reasonable with the officer. Say, listen, I really wasn't this one. And the officer just did not want to hear it. Right. So ultimately this person, they poked the bear. This person was like, I'm not going to pay this ticket, even though it wasn't a big ticket. Okay. But they said, I didn't do this. And because of all the audio out there and video out there, it's easier to catch people doing stupid things. Well, this officer was in his car watching a movie on his iPad.
Obviously,
in the car, he actually used the MDT computer. He used partially that to cover the screen so he could balance his iPad on there to watch the movie. And his body cam footage was running while he made the motor vehicle stop, and the movie was still playing. And the body cam footage, from which I've seen, and I don't want to say the movie, however, it is a good movie, folks. I did enjoy the movie, so I'm not going to say what movie it is. But he had the movie on. He starts talking about this person. He pulls them over. Movie's still going on the body cam footage. You can hear the movie. You could see the movie. You can hear the movie. Then he gets out of the car, and he issues a summons for somebody else doing exactly what he's doing. But even worse, he's watching a movie while driving a vehicle, blocking the screen of his government-issued computer so he could have his iPad on watching a movie. And then he has the nerve to pull over another vehicle, issue a motor vehicle summons for using a device that they shouldn't be using while operating a vehicle, while he himself is doing that same very thing. And when he goes back to his car, he had it on pause. He unpaused the movie while he wrote the ticket.
Oh, boy.
Body cam catching the whole thing.
What a hypocrite. Come on.
And there are many instances of these folks. And you hear about them all day long, everywhere. But it just, that is the big elephant in the room. And I think that if we want to fix a lot of things in this country, we have to get back to basics. We have to get back to our roots, our foundation, what our forefathers, what their philosophy was, and what they were creating. They were creating a new nation under God, a new nation under God. Yes, I said it. God forbid. Oh, my Lord. I said it three times now. Beat me up. I said God. Is it beeped enough?
Yes.
One more. All right, there we go. I did it enough times. They beat me enough times because I don't want somebody to say that I said the word, and then they complain because someone will blow up that I said that. So anyway,
isn't it on the document? Our money.
What?
Still?
What's that?
Isn't it God still on our money?
In God we trust. Others pay cash.
Like, yeah.
Right.
I'm stating that because like
there are some states that
like
when you get pulled
it.
Over when you get
do you actually read it?
Yeah, it does say it. And they've been talking about taking that off for a while too.
It's
some
not going to be
some
long.
People, but that's not.
No,
gonna
it's never. That's not going to happen.
I mean, it's in every document that we have. I mean, that our nation was created with that, and that's it. You know, when you go to court, you still raise your hand. You know, come on, Anyway, so the fact is that we need to go back to basics, folks.
Yes.
We need to go back to our principles, our roots. What are our roots and our principles? First, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is what our nation was created. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and you know what? And the pursuit of property. Because the streets are paved in gold in the United States, aren't they?
Yes, it is.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I want to believe that that still exists. Unfortunately, we have racial disparities where everybody is going at it with each other. We're supposed to be the melting pot. I believe we are the melting pot. But I believe when you come to a place, you assimilate to be the same. Because you went to that place because you wanted to be there. So if you're going to go to that place, then you should be what it is that you went to go be, right?
Right.
I mean, if you are going, if I'm going to go to, let's say, well, I was in Okinawa, right? Well, I spent time in Okinawa. So yes, I don't speak Japanese, or maybe I do, but I won't tell you. But if I did,
arigato.
Right? Good point. But I don't expect when I was there, I didn't expect when I left far into the area or I flew to the mainland, Osaka or wherever.
But you respect their
culture. I respected their culture.
Yes.
And I didn't expect anything. I knew where I was and I knew that this is their nation. Mm-hmm. And I'm there. I'm a guest in their home. Right. And I need to abide by their rules. And I need to respect the way they speak, the way they act, the way they talk. Well, when you come to this country, you should do the same, I think.
Yeah. Right? Don't give the finger to people on the screen when you're being filmed or whatever and disrespecting our country.
Right. Like, and that person
that
was here.
That is a no-no.
They was here illegally, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And they beat up.
upset when I saw that. I was like, oh.
And they assaulted a law enforcement officer, NYPD, the finest police department in the nation by far. They have a true police academy, separated from everybody else. They have they do physical training daily. They have a real police academy, just like New Jersey has a real police academy, just like most places have real academy classes. Then some places have stupid courses at the college. But anyway, so back to basics, where I was saying in that one where the guy gave the finger, he was an illegal. Yeah. He had come here illegally through the poorest border in the South, right? And then he beat up a law enforcement, a NYPD officer, a police officer, New York City, and they were kicking him when he was on the ground. And then this guy gets released, and he gives the finger. I mean, it's just a disgrace.
It really is. You know, I blame the parents.
Right. I blame the parents, but I blame what it. In the world was our system thinking by knowing that the first thing that this person did, he apparently was coming to this nation, right? To
better themselves, right?
Because he wanted to be in America, but obviously he didn't want to conform to what America is, just wanted to come here. And then what's the first thing they do? They break the law coming here. So right away they broke the law. See, the Governor Abbott of Texas has the right idea. And it's a crime, and they want to prosecute them in the state of Texas. People are crossing into the United States border, the porous border with all the holes in it, crossing into our country. When they come here, that time they come here, they are committing a crime when they come here. So their first act of saying, thank you, America, for accepting me, the first act they do is break our law. And we allow that, and then they end up in New York City or wherever. And then what do? They don't even get, they don't even say thank you to themselves and thank you to everybody else that, yes, I did break the law and come into your country. And now I'm reaping the benefits of getting free stuff. And I'm up in New York City now. I'm getting a trip to New York City, right? How did they get there? Somebody paid to get them there. He didn't walk. He didn't walk to New York City. Somebody paid for him to get to New York City. And what did he do? He assaulted NYPD. And then I blame our system. The guy just walked out and gave the finger as he left the court. But that's a whole other story. The point is back to basics. We got to get back to basics. We got to get to what is the crux of the problem. And I'll say it again. It's the vehicle. When the car was created, yes, we need it. We need vehicles for law enforcement. Obviously, police need police cars because, A, you need to transport people. Mm-hmm. And you need to get to places quickly.
Yeah,
but you also need to have, they also took away that interaction with the police and the public. You know, they have what, national night out now, one night a year, one day in July, and then and that's supposed to make up for the 364 other days of the year that your officers drive around in a car with the windows up, listening to music and radio shows and podcasts, and even like this guy watching a movie with the windows up. They're oblivious to what's going on, and then they or they're just oblivious. They're just looking for something to do. So they're looking for you to have your phone in your hand, and he's assuming, and you know what happens when they assume? They make an out of you and me. So when you assume, you make an ASS out of you and me. So I don't know. Air conditioning was the thing that I remember. We talked about it when I was in school, and I discussed it in multiple classes: criminology, sociology, social problems, intro to policing, community policing. I can name the courses that I took, which each course was longer than that BLET course. Each one course was longer than their entire training that they offer. But anyway, on that tangent, that is going to be the spin show that's coming out soon, and the docu-series. It's a docu-series. We're going to be highlighting me and other people in the business are going to be highlighting some specific cases. But what about de-escalation?
They need
getting back to that veteran who was out there with the sign, and he didn't have a sign, but they said, you know, he didn't. But you know, I will work for food or whatever. He didn't even have that sign. But either way, if he did or he didn't, but he didn't. But we'll just say, for the sake of in generalization, whatever it was, he was slammed to the ground. I also was given a video recently of a girl, 18 years old, pulled over by an officer who had been on the job for less than a couple months.
Okay.
Pulled over an 18-year-old girl. He was a white officer. She was a white girl. Pulled her over, 18 years old, just turned 18. Pulled her over for speeding. 7 miles an hour over the speed limit. 7 miles an hour. Folks, I'm going to leave it at that. Think about that. Just think about that. 7 miles an hour. That's very easy to do.
Everyone has done that.
Listen, yes.
In the beginning, because they don't know how to...
That's when you see people jam on the brakes, jam on the gas, and the cars are jerking forward, back and forth, because it's very hard when you're learning to adjust your foot to get to that number. So 7 miles, and you know what? Was I don't know what he used. Did he use radar? Did he use VASCAR? Yeah, look that one up. I bet you they don't teach you VASCAR. Did he use laser? What kind of radar? Did he pace the vehicle where you get behind the car and you actually have to have a certain amount of distance between you and the car, 2 seconds between a point A and point B? And then you drive for a period of time, and your whatever is on your speedometer should be roughly what their speed is.
That's
pacing. But again, calibration, word of the day again, was the odometer, speedometer calibrated on the police car? Was the speedometer calibrated on this 18-year-old girl's car? I don't even know what form he used. He also alleged that she had a headlight out. This was daytime, and it wasn't raining. I don't know. You go figure that one. You know, daytime, no rain. I don't know. Headlights, one light out. I don't know. Scratch my head. This might scratch my head moment. So anyway,
the glass broke. The headlight broken?
No, he said it was out. I don't even know. I mean, I know if you have daytime running lights.
I mean, that's the only way to check. You know, if it was smashed or something, then it's out.
Well, if you have daytime running lights, they're supposed... If your car comes equipped with something, it's supposed to be operational.
Mm-hmm.
But not every car has daytime running lights. And I know that some states have the law, if the wipers are on, the lights must be on. You know, New mm-hmm. Jersey has that rule. Lights on, wipers on, lights on.
I can never tell when they're on, though, like the back.
No,
but
those are your parking lights. They go on automatically when you put the lights on.
Mm.
But anyway, so the story on this with the girl was he yanked her from the car and threw her to the ground. He opened her car door.
Why did he yank?
He opened. I know, right? I got the video. We'll be putting it out. He opened the car door, I don't know why.
I'd be so scared.
And then he then he forgets to turn his body cam on. But again, the business is that this occurred in the two different places, mm-hmm. and her father has a website up now too.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
so I gotta check it out.
Sign the petition. I'll be attaching in the description to the show this particular website for the family who is signing petition against the officer and the department, because when the guy didn't have the body cam on, he lied. And but then the business owners of where this occurred, not the dog, the girl,
had it.
Got the full video.
Ah, he so walked, got him in a lie.
He walked up to the car and he opened the door. Mm-hmm. Opened the door. You're not supposed to do that. And we're coming on a time crunch, and I want you to get one song in. So he opened the door. She was trying to fumble for her ID. And he said that he arrested her for failing to produce ID. And for resisting arrest. She was looking for her ID. And when he slammed it to the ground, guess what? Underneath her body was her ID and her phone, because she was trying to get it out, but he didn't give her a chance to. And then he arrested her for that and for resisting, which ultimately was dismissed. Because when you read the statute, she didn't actually resist. He opened the door forcefully without permission. And then afterwards, they searched the car illegally. Folks,
what is wrong with that
searching guy? Of the vehicle, they need a warrant or incident to arrest. An incident to arrest includes what is in reach of the person suspected of a crime, whatever is in arm's reach of them. Well, she was out of the car, and they searched the car after she was handcuffed in the back of the police car. Mm. So the bottom line is, why did they search the whole car? The link will be in the episode. You can check out the website. The father set up a full website. All of the video from the two stores and from motorists passing by that filmed it on their phone, etc. Moving on. Miss Bianca, do you have a song? And then we're coming to a time crunch. Right.
Oh,
Miss Bianca. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, yeah. Unfortunately, folks.
I forgot to say the name of the song.
Yeah, what is the name of
the song? It's called In the Name of Love by BB Rexha.
Okay, yeah, you got to give the shout out because I, you know, you don't, you, you know, that's the rules.
I was like so rushing into it.
So, anyway, folks, we have come to a hard end. Thank you for coming to the Hostile Zone yet another day.
And
in your face.
Woo!
Stay tuned for more. We will be on again later tonight on our sister network, KKTC 99.9, and we will be available again every other night. And check your favorite podcast platform. We're on all of them, or just Google The Hostile Zone. Miss Bianca, how do we end this show with pride and glory?
Absolutely, by the national anthem.
Oh, say, can you see? Dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
It's not going anywhere.
Because in Cincinnati Zone, I hear everything, everywhere. For everyone else, see you next Monday for more outrageous talk, where we pull back the curtain and hold no punches. From me to you, have a great week. And remember, everyone, treat others kind, treat your family kinder, and always love our country.